Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk about a little bit of manly stuff, a little bit of physical stuff, a little bit of mental stuff tonight. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have everything that you'd ever want if you're into trapping. They have all kind of stuff for deer, fish, hog, bear. They have stuff for predator calling. So in other words, if you're an outdoorsman, you need to give Funky Trap Tags and Supplies a chance because it's a good company. Alan Sayers is the owner. I do personal business with him. I go on vacation with him, have last 2 years actually, and that's just good people. So if you want to make sure that you're getting taken care of, that's who you should go to. They're really good on shipping, great prices, and it's just a good company. I've got a question. It's one of these things that I see more and more today, and I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's we're just turning into a bigger group of wussies thing. I don't know what it is, but what is the difference between a winner and a loser? A winner in sports, a winner in business, a winner in revenue streams, a winner in marriage, a winner at their job, a winner with their finances. What is one of the big differences between the two? I can tell you what it is, and it's painful for a lot of people today to hear. Losers do very little effort, but think they're winning, or they should win. Winners do a lot of work and are still worried they're being lazy. See, winners are never comfortable. Losers are always comfortable, mentally and physically. So let's break that down a little bit. We can pick on millennials and we can pick on young people today. They think they should come out of college and be president of a company with no real world experience. Nothing like that. I've actually seen videos where cities are having trouble getting policemen because millennials want to be chief of police when they graduate the police academy. They just think that a little bit of work means they're winning. No, it's a little bit of work. Going to the police academy is basic. A lot of street smarts when you're a cop, I'm sure, actually is more educational than going to the police academy. Same thing when it comes to business. You talk to people about business. What do you need to do? Well, today you need to build an online presence for most people. So what do people do? They start a podcast. It lasts for a few months and it just dwindles away. Why? They think a little bit of work means they're winning, and they're not. That just should be every day. You tell them they should put content out if that's what's best for their business on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok. And what do? They put out a few videos. They decide that they've worked hard by doing a little bit of content, and that the rewards of being a winner should just cascade down on their head like gifts from God or something. And it didn't work that way. But see, as men, we need to be able to teach kids, boys, to be men. And we have to somehow instill this in them that a little bit of work does not mean you get a massive reward. That's not how the real world works. Because let's say that they start something to do with YouTube, and they become an influencer, and for a year they put out content. Now they're making money. Now they got people wanting them to sponsor them for different things. They get a little bit of success. They put in a little bit of work. They think that they're now winners, and the content gets stale, it gets old, it gets inconsistent, and they lose that, and they're very upset because in their mind, they're winners. Let's bring this closer to home to men. You've got a good wife. When you're dating, what do? You take her out. You let her know that you love her. You're always putting your hands on her, not just in a sexual way either. You're helpful. When she needs something, you go out of your way to make sure it happens. That's putting in a little bit of work at the beginning. Y'all hit it off. Y'all become married. And after a couple of years, that doesn't happen anymore, does it, guys? It takes a lot of work to be a winner. And if you want to have a successful marriage, it takes a lot of work forever. Just like in a business. If you think you can coast, I promise you, you're going to lose. Everything you do, everything I do, everything that you see around you, it's either going forwards, backwards, but it's never sitting still. It may give you the illusion that it's coasting, but I promise you it's on a downslide when that happens. I mean, you can see examples of this, like with politicians and AOC. She got elected where Nancy Pelosi told her that they could have run a glass of water and got a congressman hired in her election. But to her, a little bit of work means she's a winner. And now everybody should listen to what she says, when the only real experience she has is a terrible degree in finance, because when she talks about the economy, you can tell she has no idea. So she didn't even put the work in when she was in college. Then she was a bartender. Now she just got a very unusual thing to happen where she could be elected if she was a glass of water. And now she thinks everybody should listen to her. You want to be good in sports? You have to work all the time. I don't like LeBron James, but the man works. When you look at some of the old footage of Michael Jordan, he always worked. And more than that, he pushed others to work as well. When you look at Ray Lewis, probably hands down one of the greatest linebackers, the most violent linebacker in NFL history. He worked like he was trying to get his job every day he went on the football field. It was crazy how hard he worked. Kobe Bryant, I've heard all kind of stories how people would come in and they would come to practice early and he was already there. They would have practice and then they would practice some more, and when they left, he was still there. And people wonder, why was Kobe Bryant so good at basketball? Winners are never, ever content. You want to think logically. From a human point of view, we're all lazy by nature. Humans are just lazy by nature. So you want to think that you work for a while and then you can just coast. And you may pull that off with a government job. You may pull that off at some jobs. But you're never going to be able to pull that off on a revenue stream. And you're never going to pull that off on a business. You're never going to pull that off in a marriage. You're never going to pull that off with your health. Losers always think a little bit of work means they're winning. And they feel like they should be winning because they've done something. Well, see, my generation, that's not the way that we were taught. You always had to work hard, but that's not the way it is today. And I'm afraid that that influence of the younger generation has flipped over into the older generation of men. They've done a little bit for a while, and they want super success. You can want it, but you ain't going to get it. And if you get it, you ain't going to keep it. You can never be comfortable if you want to be a winner in whatever it is you're doing. I don't care if it's deer hunting, catching coyotes with traps, being a best fisherman, starting a business, starting revenue streams, being such a good employee that no matter what happens, you're not going to lose your job. You'll be the last one they ever lay off. There's a lot of pride in that. Think about the example you can have as a dad, teaching your kid that you hustle every day. That's what men do. They hustle every day. Boys do a little bit of work and think they're winning. Real men know you work and you work and you work and you get better and you figure out a way to work harder and more efficient until it's over. Think if that was the norm. You wouldn't go to a grocery store and have to watch people struggling to give you back change. See, those people did very little work, but they think they should get rewarded. You wouldn't have all of the crappy products that you end up getting in the free market, because no one would settle for giving you a crappy product. If you want to change your life, work hard. Now, we hear that all the time, but I'm talking about actually doing it. Get up, do what you need to do, do it better than you did the day before, and eventually you will be successful. That is very simple. To be successful in America, all kind of studies show pretty much the same thing. You get a high school degree, you get a job, and you don't have kids till you get married, you can be upper middle class on average pretty easy. And if that's all you want to do, then that's successful. If you want to make more money than that, you're going to have to do more than that. You're going to have to self-educate yourself because you didn't get educated in school. You're going to have to figure things out on your own because there's not a book for everything, single situation. YouTube cannot help you with everything. Losers do a little bit of work and think they're winning. Winners do a lot of work and are afraid they're still being lazy. Something to think about. Especially if you're a dad. And if you're a real man, you need to think about that every day. Because we need more of that, not less of that. Now I want to switch a little bit about what we're talking about. And when I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago down in Mexico. Spent a week. And When I do these vacations, I probably read 2 to 3 books in a week while I'm down there. One of them really piqued my curiosity. And if you're into physical fitness, I highly recommend a book for you. And it's called Underground Training. You can get it on your Kindle or your phone. It's not that expensive. It's a guy's journey that started as a bodybuilder and ended up being a strength coach for athletes. And one of the things in the book, it was interesting to me because I think this point should be made, especially if you're a grown man. Everybody needs to understand what they're doing when they go to become better health. If you want to be a bodybuilder, I think that's fine. But it's not very functional. If you talk to bodybuilders, especially the ones that get on gear and they get real serious about it, they get to the point where they have a hard time wiping their own ass and putting on their own socks. See, they may look jacked and they may look impressive waddling down the street, but there's not a whole lot they can actually do in the real world. And that's where this coach started, was a bodybuilder. He actually won a contest when he was like 16, 17, then went on to win many more bodybuilding contests. But he was a wrestler. That's what he loved, was wrestling in high school. Now, I never went to a school where we had wrestling. To me, that looks like an awesome sport. That looks like something every male should have to do in America to graduate high school. At least take 1 year wrestling. Because it builds mental toughness and it builds a physical toughness. And that's what men need today. But he was a bodybuilder that did his stuff like out of Flex magazines and Muscle and Fitness and different things like that. And he looked like he would tear another wrestler apart. And he hardly ever won a wrestling match. This frustrated him. It got him mad. He couldn't understand it. He was lifting all these weights. He was doing this, that, and the other. And he just could not understand why it was not helping him when it came to being a wrestler. And if you've ever wrestled, I mean, I haven't done it, but just watching it, that is intense, irregular feats of strength every few seconds. You're either trying to pin, flip, throw, twist, yank, turn. It's crazy when you watch really good wrestlers go at it. I'm not talking WWE stuff. I'm talking high school, college, and Olympic wrestling. Well, once he got out of high school, he got into college. He got into more bodybuilding. He got big. I don't think he took steroids, but he started getting big where everybody was noticing him and this, that, and the other. But he knew there was a lot of things in sports he was not good at, even though it looked like he would be. So he started going back to what is considered the golden era of bodybuilding, which is back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, some in the 40s. Like most things, there's a lot of information that's probably better than modern stuff, because modern usually complicates stuff to the point where it waters it down. So you got this guy that's jacked and tan, big shoulders, big biceps, abs sticking out everywhere. And he knew sports-wise, he couldn't really do a whole lot. So he went back and he looked at some of these older guys, like out of the original West Side Barbell Club in California, not the one that's in Ohio. I've read books about this. The way they train is so different than the way bodybuilders train today. Those dudes were strong. Those dudes were flexible. Those dudes could do stuff and they were fast. It wasn't all about the looks. It was about performance. And what this guy came to in his mind was, if I'm going to lift weights, am I doing it in a way that makes me more functional? If I'm going to train other people, like wrestlers and football players and, you know, actually track and all kind of different sports, hockey, he ended up training people, trained pros. In all these different sports, what is the most functional way to go about training? He still does very heavy compound lifts, and I think that's the right move. That's about 80% of what I do today. Bench, incline bench, decline bench. I do shoulder presses, shoulder pin presses, deadlifts, rack pulls. I've started doing power cleans. Could not believe how that wrecked my shoulders. Not in a bad way, but muscle-wise. Traps were screaming. I haven't done a power clean since high school. Just the speed of having to pull that thing off the floor in a power clean activated stuff I have not been activated in the last 2 years. Then he started thinking about core strength, real core strength, not this phony garbage baloney shit that you see on YouTube where people are trying to balance on balls and do bicep curls. He's not talking about that. How do you get real strong? Like scary in a fight strong? Well, it's not from doing bicep curls and tricep extensions and side lateral raises and stuff like that. It's doing stuff that's awkward and makes you activate a lot of different muscles in different ways that if you just do powerlifting style training, you're good at those lifts, but you can really struggle with a lot of other stuff. So he started picking up rocks. I mean, that's what the freaking Celts were doing in Scotland when England wouldn't let them train for battle. They were picking up rocks, and they were picking up rocks and throwing it. And they were some scary dudes from doing something that simple. He started pushing his truck around, which we've talked about before. He started sprinting up hills. You know, adults don't sprint anymore. He started sprinting. He started using sandbags, which we've talked about, to do squats with and throw over his shoulder and, you know, throw it from side to side in real heavy medicine balls, like 100 pounders. And he got extremely strong, like not show strong, not lift strong, like he could just move a deadlift in a certain way. He could move awkward stuff. And what he noticed is his body changed from doing this. And he started thinking, I bet you high school athletes would switch and dominate if they were what we used to call when I was younger, just being cock strong, farm strong, country strong, not bodybuilding, beach strong. So that's what he did. So he started this gym in his garage and got some wrestlers. And they're doing body movements. They're doing pull-ups. They're doing dips. They're doing a lot of basic stuff that people don't do anymore because it's not flashy and sexy. And no one really wants to do it because it's hard work. But you know what his wrestlers did that next year? They cleaned the mat at their high schools. They just beat the other wrestlers into submission. And there was nothing the other wrestlers could do about it. Then he started getting football players, and then the football players started just whooping ass on the football field. I talk about fitness a lot because in my life, being so fat for so long, so out of shape for so long, and realizing as I get older, the longer that continues, the shorter my lifespan's going to be. And what life I do have left is going to be poor and poor and poor. So that's the reason I kind of started this, because I'm hoping there's another, enough older guys out there that realize this really sucks getting older. But when you start getting in shape, it don't suck to be older anymore. Because you're going to find out you can be stronger at 40, 50, and 60 than you were at 20. You can move better. Now, you may get sore, and you may have to recuperate longer. And you have to maybe a little bit smarter so you don't hurt yourself, because stuff does get, ligaments and stuff, you got to take care of them as you get older, a little bit different than being a rubber band young guy. But it makes such a huge difference. So this book really got me thinking. And I'm down in Mexico, and I'm thinking about this. And I've already started, I've been doing some of this, farmer's walks. I've got the implements for that. I've got the 100-pound sandbags that I pick up and throw around. And I've got the heavy medicine balls. And, I mean, I've spent 2.5 years building a really nice home gym. as far as what I have in there. It's not pretty. It's more like my brother calls it Clint's, what do you call that? Torture something. I mean, it can't be a dungeon because we're not underground. But if it was underground, you would think it was a dungeon. I'm still doing the weightlifting stuff, and I'm still using sandbags. But what he was talking about is using awkward stuff that most people would be looked down upon today to do to get really strong where you're more functional in life. And I think that's what we as our age needs to be. Sure, if you want to be, you get a divorce at 50 years old and you think a six pack is going to get you younger chicks and that's what you think is the most important, that's fine. But when you go to help someone move furniture and it's not in a really controlled fashion like weightlifting is, you're going to find out real quick that the muscles are more show than they are go. And what's the use of them besides looks? I mean, go get plastic surgery at that point. I don't know anything about it, but I've heard bodybuilders, some of them, put oil inside their muscles to make them bigger. Just go ahead and do that. I don't know the side effects. I don't know what the stuff does. But if just looking better, what it is, that means you're basically, you look like you're a Chrysler Hellcat that should have 700 butt-kicking horsepower. But you bought a Hellcat with all the emblems, and you put in a four-cylinder, and you can barely go 80 miles an hour. Yeah, one, it can look good, but it can't do anything. What good is that? And then in that book, he recommends another book, which is very interesting, called Convict Conditioning. Again, you can buy this on Amazon. I bought it on my Kindle. I'm middle of reading it right now. So basically, these guys don't have weights at all the prisons. And this guy spent most of his adult life in prison. But if you're not strong, you're somebody's bitch. And being somebody's bitch in prison apparently can be pretty painful. So that's not something you want to do. So you need to get strong. You need to get fast. You need to get limber. You need to be able to move at a moment's notice. Well, he started doing research on old school. Back in the golden era again of people that used to build their bodies with their body weight. Pull-ups, dips, leg raises, push-ups, different styles of push-ups, one-arm push-ups, handstand push-ups, which I cannot do yet, different things like that. And he treats his body like it's a gym, and he figures out ways to stress his muscles all the time, which... The more that I think about this and the more that I've actually started doing this, it seems like it's a lot more healthy and it seems like you move a lot better after you do it. An example, a very simple example. You do a barbell row, basic barbell row for your back. You get a barbell, you put plates on the sides, you bend over at the waist, you brace yourself, you get your back good and strong. Then you lift the barbell up towards your belly button and it builds your lats. So I'm thinking about this book and I'm like, okay, what if I laid on my back and had a barbell in my squat rack with no weights on it, and then I had to pull myself up to the bar instead of pull the weight to me? So I'm actually pulling my body weight instead of the plates. It felt better on my shoulder. It did not stress my lower back. And it ripped my lats. So now I'm looking around the gym, and I'm by no means an expert in this, but now I'm trying to figure out how can I do more things with my body weight, besides dips, push-ups, pull-ups, stuff like that, how can I incorporate different things? So one of the things he keeps talking about, and if you've never watched this, my wife is a sports nut. So when sports are on, it's on what's on the TV. So when the Olympics are on, she's glued to it all day. She records it. She watches it. And have you ever seen gymnast men? They got huge shoulders, huge traps, huge backs, huge legs, huge forearms, huge chest. And they do very little weightlifting. Everything they do is body weight. They have to move their body. So today I got on the porch and I'm curious to see what I can do with this because I still weigh 270 pounds. But I'm curious to see. So I bought the little wooden rings like gymnasts use. Now I don't plan on, you know, being a gymnast, but I can do pull-ups with them. I think I can do rear delt exercises with them. I think I can figure out a way to do some biceps with them. I know I can do push away on those things and use my triceps. I'm going to try to figure out to do as many different of what I would do with weights, but use my body. Because if I could look like a gymnast, hypertrophy part I'd be looking for would be over. And for them to do what they do in a real world situation, I would put a gymnast against a bodybuilder any day, and I'm going to put my money on the gymnast. Because they can manipulate through space their body with strength. Now, the guy that did convict conditioning, when they trained this way, they didn't have weights. But every year, the prisons have a weightlifting competition. So the prisons compete against each other. The prisoners with weights got to train with weights. And the ones that didn't, they didn't have weights to train with. A lot of the guys that train body weight can outlift the weightlifters with weights. Let that sink in a second. If you're doing one-armed handstand push-ups, how much force are you generating to bench press with? Apparently, quite a bit. They were a lot of those guys, the first time that they were grabbing barbells, were ripping 500 pounds off the floor in deadlifts. They were squatting close to 5. And they were benching over 3. All with body weight exercise. So you may say, I don't have time to exercise. You got a body. I guarantee you, you have the time. And if you're saying that to yourself, I guarantee you're lying to yourself. You can do push-ups and pull-ups. You can do squats with sandbags. If you get to the point that you can do pistol squats, which you can look that up online if you don't know what that is, squatting 400 pounds is going to be a joke. Just an interesting thing that I thought I would share, because it's like the more that I train, the more that I study, the more it gets open that there's so many avenues out there to never be bored as you're getting physically fit. None. You don't have to have a $3,000 belt squat like I have. I love my belt squat. I do all kind of stuff on my belt squat. I actually do more on my belt squat than I do my legs. But you don't have to have that. You want to be a strong, functional, dependable male, you can do it without all the weights. You can do it without the weights and with the weights. But I don't think you're ever going to be as functional if it's purely weights. Some of the stuff I've said about sandbags. I've got a keg that I filled up with water that I can pick up and walk with. It probably weighs 130 pounds. I can do 3 sets of 10 on curls. I can do 2 or 3 different type of sets on curls, and your biceps feel like they're tired. You go grab a keg or a sandbag and hold it out in front of you, I mean up against your chest where your arms are bent, and you walk for 100 yards. There's a reason strong men have arms the size of tree trunks. I don't know why bodybuilders don't do this. So you don't have to have. If you got firewood, figure out a way to use it. You got trees that are down in the wood, cut some limbs off, figure out a way to flip it up and down, throw it around. I think part of the reason people don't do stuff like that is they're afraid someone's going to look at them and think they're strange. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're being strange, that means you're not being average. And being average pretty much in America means you're fat, out of shape, and you can't do anything. So why are you worried about being average? Be spectacular. Be the guy that when people get around, they know you don't mess with him. And if you need help, he's the guy you want because he is cock strong. That's what you want. Having an 8-pack of abs, I could care less about that. Be able to move and have balance and be able to move around with weight because that's life. That's more important. So if you're letting not being close to a gym keep you from getting in shape, you're not trying hard enough. You can do it. Look at some of the strongman exercises. You can go on YouTube and see all kind of them. You'll figure out pretty quick that you've got a lot of that stuff pretty relatively available. Get the book Underground Training. If you've been into weightlifting for a while, it's going to blow your mind about how strong and what these kids, I mean, these are kids that are not bodybuilders, but after a couple of years of working with this guy, they're not far off, but they are strong. Little kids. And if you're a dad and you look like I have for the last 25 years, what example are you giving your kids? Really? I know we can all make fun of the, you know, dad bod, and we can all make fun of the beer gut, and we can all that. But when they see you struggle to do stuff, what kind of example are you really giving? Are you teaching them that it's okay to be weak? Are you teaching them that it's better to be strong? Because they're going to notice. Because when they see you and you're around all the other dads, they're going to be proud of their dad. And all the other dads are going to be trying to figure out why they don't look like that. And it's not all about the looks. It's about living. Just think about it. What is it you want to be? All show and no go? Or do you want to have a little bit of show, but a hell of a lot of go? As a man, go matters. So go do what you're supposed to do. Be that example. Be that person that your wife and your friends can depend on. you'll really like how you feel once you get started. Well, maybe not at the beginning because you're going to feel like you get ran over by a truck. But being uncomfortable is good. And the more work you put into this, the better you're going to feel, the better you're going to look, the more self-confidence you're going to have, the straighter you're going to stand up. And I think it just makes a more confident male, which there's a whole lot of false confidence going on right now, but I'm talking real confidence. And that's what you want. You want go. The show is like icing. You look a little bit better, but you want the go. Now go get it.